This reading comes up every few years, and I know there's a lot of priests are a little afraid to talk about marriage and the vision of marriage that Jesus has in the in this reading. And I understand that this is marriage is it's a topic that causes a lot of consternation and things like that, but. But I thought, what the heck, after that comeback by the bison yesterday, I feel like I could take on the world. So I don't say anything to cause any consternation. But if I do, or if you have any questions, please ask me. Because this is important. This is the center, or one of the main passages that John Paul II refers to in his Theology of the Body, which, you know, the theology of the body is primarily about what we would call the marital act and the proper place of the marital act in human life. But he does have a lot to say about the institution. And that's important because I think that, with John Paul II's teachings, I think we are perhaps for the first time really coming to an understanding of the place of marriage in the salvation order, in the world, in human order, because really what Jesus points out is that, you know, if we wonder what is the first sacrament, well, if it's Jesus, of course, you know, is yes, from all eternity as God, because he's God, but He is placing marriage right there at the beginning. In the beginning, it was not so, as he says. This is what God's intention was, that this would be a marriage would be, a completion of the human being. You know, that was, the human being was originally two. But to provide that unity that God demonstrates is, you know, we had the institution of marriage. So the two, the man and the woman, complete each other in marriage. And actually what John Paul II teaches and what the church has taught is that this becomes a marriage can be a reflection of God in the Trinity. In the Trinity, what we teach is, of course, God is one. There, you know, three persons are not parts. They are persons, but not parts. It's, you know, just take God's word for that. You know, it's a mystery how you can be three but one. But anyway, you know, the Father and the Son. The Father begets the Son, does not create. Father begets the Son. The love of the Father and the Son through that Father and the Son precedes the Holy Spirit. The man and the woman, they come together, and through their love, they create, they share in God's creation, that kind of thing. So, it is a holy state to be in, and it is what God intended for us to be. And throughout the history of humanity, that has not been what marriage has been. You know, marriage has been done for the arrangements for allies, and, you know, even among Christians, for, you know, to unite two royal houses or things like that. And all that's behind us now. But what's happened with marriage is that it has become sort of a state, a temporary state, if you will. It's become just something, the world has kind of made marriage into a something you'll try for a while. If not, you know, okay, we'll just try something else, you know, go with something else. And that's not what God intended. Now, of course, situations with abuse and person that can't stay faithful and things like that, that's a whole different deal. But we're just talking about normal circumstances. I think one of the things that marriage has been, one of the things that we've lost in the culture is the idea of commitment. Because by making marriage like this, Jesus is saying, this is going to be the thing you commit to, you know. And we lost that. You know, we've become a society that's afraid of commitment, because commitment makes demands on us, and that's difficult. So hopefully that's one of the lessons that this being a celibate priest can help teach, is the idea of commitment. Commitment to something greater than yourself. Commitment to something bigger than yourself, because a marriage is bigger than an individual, isn't it? Yeah. But it's a wonderful thing. And the thing is that Jesus, you know, when Jesus taught about himself, about his body, that, you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot have life within you. Some of the people said, this saying is hard. And he acknowledged that. The saying was hard. But they said, this saying is hard, so we're going to leave. But the disciples, Jesus asked the ones that remained, he said, what about you? Are you leaving? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so he acknowledged, he never said, no, this saying is not hard. It is. And life can be hard sometimes, but where are we going to go? Jesus has the words of eternal life. And the thing is, he makes things, God makes things not hard, but, you know, what it is that there, life is going to offer some obstacles in life, but he's saying, if you stick with it, you will have the joy of being closer to me in this marriage. And that's really what it's about. Our faith is about being one with Jesus. Saint Faustina, whose feast day was the other day, she's the one that did the Divine Mercy. And what she wrote, that, you know, these visions and all this that I'm getting are, you know, they're nice, but what's really important is being one, is my unity with God that my faith provides. And that's what John Paul II says. That's what we want to pray for. Because when we have the faith, then we can receive the joy of living the life that God has to us, of overcoming those obstacles. It's like, you know, sports, I talk about sports, and the problem I have with sports is that we get it backwards, is that sports becomes the thing we commit to, and everything else revolves around it. But where sports can be helpful is learning commitment. You learn commitment, you learn setting a goal greater than yourself, you learn no pain, no gain. But what do you gain? You gain victory. You know, you gain victory and things like that. So you learn that, yes, there might be difficult times along the way, but the payoff is greater than the pain that you go, and that's true. But what happens is that then we become, that becomes the commit, you know, that becomes the commitment, and then our faith becomes something that we find time for. And that's exactly the opposite. Because, you know, one of the things that sports teaches us is the idea of being all in for something. And we have we understand being all in for something like that, you know. But really what we need to do in our faith is, first of all, before we can be all in on a marriage, we have to be all in on faith. Because it is from that, it is from our faith, it is from our unity with Christ that we will receive the strength to overcome. Yes, there will be difficult times in every marriage, whether they're from our own flaw, because the problem is, marriage like the church is a holy and sacred institution inhabited by flawed human beings. And the flawed human beings part was going to cause some rough spots. But if we are all in on our faith first, then we can receive the strength to go through all of these things, you know, to go through the difficulties. And so I always say, God does not ask what he hasn't done himself. God is all in on us. This is someone who is all in on loving humanity, all in on saving us, all in on giving himself to us. And he continues to do so, doesn't he? In this sacrament, Jesus continues to give himself, to give us his body, to give us his blood. So he is all in on us. And if we can go all in on him, we can begin to understand what it means to be all in on a marriage, all in on love, all in on all those things. And so, yeah, we sometimes have to, work around things. But, you know, and I always say, so, you know, go to your tournaments, but before you go, because we're all in on our faith, before you go, go to masstimes.org and figure out when you're going to go to Mass, whether it's going to be somewhere where you're at, whether it's going to be the 6:30 here, and things like that. You know, I have a couple of friends, Facebook friends, that are kosher. They're Jewish, obviously, from other parts of the country. And one of the things I think I'm beginning to understand is one of the reasons that God had the people be kosher, meaning that certain things they can eat, certain things they can't, and all that, is it kind of reminds them that, because we are God's people, we have to do things a certain way, you know? And so it reminds them that this is the most important thing, you know, that God is the most important thing in their life. And I think one of the things that the Sunday obligation that we have, obviously this is a good thing. It's a one time a week, an hour a week, you know, it's kind of a minimal commitment. But it reminds us that, this is the most important thing in my life. It has to be for me to properly get everything from my life that God wants me to be. So, there's that, you know, so that's important, I think, for us to truly be, to understand commitment, to understand marriage as a commitment, to understand family as a commitment. We need to have our faith first. And so this is, of course, much ink has been spilled over this topic, and I won't even try to address everything that could be said about it. I only have a certain amount of time. So the next Mass is at 10:45, so I can't cover everything. But I just, really what I wanted to do is to get us to thinking along those lines, to thinking in terms of marriage as a commitment, something that the culture has shied away from. And learning and beginning with that, but first of all, beginning with commitment to our faith, because it is commitment to our faith from which all other commitments come. Because, of course, if we're committed to our faith, we're not just relying on our own resources. We're relying on the sources of Jesus, whose resources are literally infinite. And so we can do, as Paul says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because his strength is without limit, because he is God made flesh. And so he shares his strength, he shares his love, he shares his very self in this sacrament. And so indeed, we can do it with his help.